Hey there, this is David Howard Thornton, but you might know me as Art the Clown from the movie Terrifier and the upcoming Terrifier 2, and you're listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Hi, everybody. How are you? How's it going? How are you, Mike? What's going on? You have another brother love introduction for us.
I think I'll try something else, Scotty. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast that I can best describe as the fourth installment of your favorite movie series. Is it great? But you'll come back next week anyway. This is Verbal Shenanigans. I am Mike Berlew, and here's our host for this week, who happened to be the host last week and everyone beforehand, Scott Brennan.
Wow. I think we just lost everybody, but I liked it.
Thank you.
Like I said, maybe your calling is Southern wrestling intro. Promoter.
Mm.
Like, you could be a manager. Yeah, you can get weird with it.
Yeah, I got to see they got like a UWF down here. We right. Gotta see if they bring back the territories, go old school since we can't go anywhere.
Does the wrestling still do the manager thing too often?
Pretty much in the WWE, I think maybe they have two managers
remaining.
From what I've always heard, apparently Vince, for God knows what reason, hates managers. So, like, even when somebody is good at it, he'll eventually just bury them and throw them away.
Right.
It's just the weirdness of him. I mean, they happen in other federations, but I don't really follow the other ones to really give you a count.
Yeah, I don't know. That seemed to be like a staple of the 80s and 90s. You had a manager of some sort.
Mm-hmm. Freddie Blassie, Slick, Mr. Fuji, Bobby Heenan.
Paul Bearer.
Sonny. Paul Bearer.
Is Paul Bearer dead?
Yeah. Yeah. His last appearance was Kane putting him back into a freezer. Edge kidnapped him, put him in a freezer. Kane pulled him out. And since Kane was a bad guy, for God knows what reason, they ended the show with him putting him back in the freezer and shutting the door. And then I think like 2 months later, he actually passed away.
It'd be funny if that was like a stunt that went wrong and they left him in the freezer. They packed up and went to the next road gig. Oh, crap,
we're
Paul!
In San Diego. Where the hell is Paul? Oh, no! Somebody call Houston!
But anyway, if you're just tuning in, this is Verbal Shenanigans episode. I think we're 294 of these things in. So we're a weekly podcast. We've been putting out a lot of content lately due to the pandemic. Who knows? Maybe we'll keep it up for a while, even as this thing, God willing, starts to shake its way out, because I'm losing my mind. I need to get out of the house. I miss clothes. I miss not wearing slippers. I miss my jeans. I don't know, bro. It's getting smaller and smaller in this house.
I can imagine. That was my last weekend. I kind of went out, did a small couple things, so I'm pretty good for now. We're going to a local school, doing 24 miles on Saturday, so that will at least kill 4 hours of the weekend.
All right.
I mean, I guess it could be worse. You could be in our northeast sections that are apparently getting a May blizzard just for the funk of it.
Yeah.
God, just like, oh, you think I don't have other things up my sleeve?
Yeah. You got murder hornets, you got May blizzards, you know, you got pandemic or whatever the hell this thing is anymore. At some point, this has got to give, though. At some point, I think it's going to be a balancing act, and they're gonna open this thing back up, because I think people are going to start killing themselves.
On a side note, going back to wrestling, my favorite six-man tag team was the Murder Hornets and May Blizzard. Just fantastic work together in the ring.
The Murder Hornets. I mean, are we really trying to scare people about this? Like, it's just, You gotta like, I gotta do what Doug Stanhope did. Doug Stanhope apparently just took in no news and no information for 30 days at the beginning of this pandemic, and then kind of checked in after 30 days and wanted to see what happened. And like the biggest news for him was that like Tom Brady got traded or signed with a new team. so I gotta respect that, because I think that's what the world needs to do. I think instead of a complete lockdown, going out of your house and everything, they should just lock down information to be lock down the media for 1 month, and I bet you people will be a lot happier. I think you get along with your fellow man a little bit better.
What would really suck if you choose the month and that happened to be the 30 days, they're like, oh, all right, we're clear, but it's coming back in like 4 weeks.
Right.
You just open that paper. Oh, thank God. God damn it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, I don't even know. I don't consider myself like too up on the news all the time. You know, I check in every once in a while, read what's going on. And then the thing is, like, I don't know what to believe. I'm too stupid to kind of figure this out on my own, so I need someone to help me tell me what's real, and I can't figure out what's real anymore. I mean, for everything that's out there, there's an equal opposite article saying exactly opposite of everything the other one said, whether it's a right or left wing issue, whatever it is. It's frustrating.
You remember that like old school song, anything you could do, I could do better.
Right.
And like the man and the woman are going back and forth. That's basically our news right now.
It's like, it's so bad. It's, and again, you just want some kind of real information to get through. Like what's actually real and who has no agenda. And it just seems like there is no one that doesn't have an agenda, and that we are just, on one side, we're being told to panic and lock ourselves away forever and, you know, mask up and glove up and don't talk to anybody. And the other side, you got people saying it's all a sham. Like, as with everything, you know, it's somewhere in the middle is the truth, is the actual way to go.
I think before the pandemic, we kind of talked about it a little bit, and I kind of said it's going to be bad, but it's not going to be bad as you think and something like that. But yeah, I mean, there's no clear answers for every we should stay 30 feet and not go outside. We have, hey, the football schedule's coming out today.
Right. Right. I mean, I got to say, I'm excited for UFC. So this will come out Monday. So it'll be 2 days ago when this comes out, but we're recording here on Thursday night.
UFC is this weekend. NASCAR's the following weekend, and they're going to be going like 2 weeks. NASCAR listened to Verbal Shenanigans and they're like, that's a good idea. Twice a week during this thing.
We love
the fans.
Now might be the time to get our sponsorship on one of those cars, man. A lot more viewers, yeah, probably. No, I mean, I give Dana White credit, man. If the things are done safely and, you know, he's not out there like campaigning, I need fans. Like, he's doing it, and he put together a super card for Saturday. And it's like the third attempt at doing it, and it's going through, knock on wood. It's only 2 days away. So, I mean, you guys are listening to this in the future, but it's only 2 days away, and it hasn't been canceled yet, and I think the weigh-ins are tomorrow morning. So I might order it. I almost never ordered them. I'm a rebel. I pirate a lot of them or find a stream of them, or sometimes I'll go out to like Buffalo Wild Wings or something to catch the last two fights or something. I might, you know, I haven't spent money on any entertainment at all, so I might just sit back and order it and kind of support it. And, you know, it's going to be one of those things maybe 20 years from now where, like, oh, remember that UFC with no fans and that and Fight Island, you know?
I mean, that might even, like, be, like, the sickest card ever, no pun intended, just on, like, you're going to be hearing those punches with, like, nothing in behind.
Yeah, it's going to be like the Ultimate Fighter. Like, you know, if you ever watch the show, like, you just kind of hear the coaches yelling, you know? I think it's going to be kind of cool to hear that silence in a way, too. You know, it takes away from the energy, but it might also add, like, a little bit of intrigue. When you got someone like Francis Ngannou fighting Rozenstruik on Saturday, those are, like, two, like, 250-pound jacked men that throw bombs, like, you might hear like you might hear what sounds like a car accident when they hit each other.
You know, it might be like a great story, kind of like if somebody wrote a movie, like a a fighter comes in during this whole pandemic thing with no crowds, and he's just like whooping tail because like he can't hear any audience, and he's not nervous, and like this, he's about to fight the champion. And they're like, "Oh, pandemic's over," and there's like 80,000 people screaming. He's like, "Get out of my head! Get out of my head! Stop punching my head! Stop punching my head!"
He's just like the ultimate introvert. He's the only good when there's no one around. I bet you there's a lot of dudes like that. Like that, they always said there's like guys at the gym that are always amazing in training, but some of them just can't step up to the, you know, when the big dance is on. I'm curious. I wonder if you put yourself in the mind of a fighter. If in a way, there's almost a little bit more pressure because there's not that that a shot of adrenaline from the fans going nuts. There's not the entrance with the 25,000 people chanting and going nuts and every punch. You know, I don't know. I wonder what the mindset of the fighter is, or if it's like, hey, you know what, I can't wait to get out there.
I hope one of them is like a trash talker, because that's got to be like the ultimate humiliation. Because like now, before nobody can really hear it. Like somebody, you might catch a mic thing where they say something. Like, can you imagine some guy just whooping it? He's just like, "Come on, come on, why don't you try to hit me? Come on, come on!" And just pounds him. And that's got to be the ultimate humiliation, because that's all anybody's gonna watch for the next week.
Yeah, you just wonder. I think these guys are chomping at the bit to fight because so many of them had fights canceled for the last 2 months and are on this card, and a couple are. It's gonna be and you got to wonder about the almost like the over adrenaline, like making mistakes because there's not the focus there, and it's a little bit different, and worry, you know, the focusing on the non sounds, if you will, or the silence and the what's different. I don't know. It's curious, and I kind of want, like I said, this might be the first pay-per-view I ordered other than like splitting like, you know, Conor fights or things like that with some friends. So,
And I could just imagine the crickets if they have like two boring wrestling guys together.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that like hug each other and they just counter everything where just they're rolling around for like 10 minutes.
Like when Kimbo Slice fought.
White will just go in there and like start smacking him with a stick. No, go, go, go.
I forgot who Kimbo Slice fought. In
Dado 5000, was it something like that?
I don't know. Yeah. Data,
because that guy got a heart attack, but Kimbo died like 2 weeks later.
They rolled around and like it was awful. I just saw that the Mountain from Game of Thrones, the guy who broke the world deadlift record, who's just, you know, the biggest dude you've ever seen, is apparently boxing. Now the other big power lifter, I think it's Eddie Hunt or something like that. I forget his name, but they're apparently challenging each other to the world's heaviest boxing match. And I'm sitting in my head like, dude, their cardio is going to be 2 minutes max. Like these guys are going to throw, like they're built for powerlifting, not throwing punches and moving. But I think people are trying to find ways to generate some audience and make some money during this, but.
I mean, if they can concentrate their punches, that's going to be like the craziest freaking thing. Like, it'll be like Mortal Kombat where the guy punches it and his fist goes through the back of his head.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
They connect us right.
Can you imagine? They're like, okay, bro, here's a $1 million cash on the table, but you got to let the Mountain from Game of Thrones wind up and take his best shot at your head. Like, it's kind of like death. Or, you know, or maybe he just doesn't have the technique and you're okay.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing. Like, in the back of my head, I'm like, kind of like what we're discussing. Yeah, he's got power, but does he know how to, like, concentrate in a certain way where he can, like, hit that solid thing? Like, that's something I could concentrate on. Like, if you said something like the Mountain comes over and pinches my wife on the ass and she's like, "What are you going to do?" I'm walking away.
Yeah.
But if there's straight money on the table, it's like, all right, he's only getting one. I mean,
I don't know, dude. Just, I think that guy's got so much mass and power that even if his technique is horrible, I think it's enough to kill you.
I just imagine him like one of those kids, like. Kind of like Connor, he just sides fists you in the ear, and like you have like a 10-pound cauliflower ear for the rest of your life.
Yeah, no.
Something like that. Now, speaking of boxing, did you see Tyson? starring.
Yeah, yeah. And you see some of his comments. He wants to do some like charity stuff, which will draw. You put Tyson on a pay-per-view, people are going to buy it. I think.
Oh, no doubt.
I think it's way, way past any sense. But yeah, his punches looked amazing. The speed looked amazing.
It's the same thing they do with like they did with Lesnar going back to UFC or something like that. They'll get some like 23rd ranked person in there figuring, all right, 53 Tyson can still whoop on him just to give us a show. Because nobody wants to see our idol get his clock clean. Yeah. Nobody wants to see Tyson knocked out at 53 years old.
I just think Tyson's so out of his mind. Like, it's just not a good idea. I mean, he's got enough. You know, he's a big weed farmer now, and he's a big. I don't know. I feel like he's got enough other things.
He's got the pigeons.
He had that one man show on. I mean, who knows what kind of how that guy spends his money or where how much he owes to who knows who.
Yeah, but he also got that cartoon on Cartoon Network. I'm not sure if that's still going.
I just think he's marketable enough that something could land where he doesn't have to go get punched in the face, even if it is for charity or whatnot. Like, it's just, I don't know, man. 53.
Can you imagine if somebody punches him and he reverts back to age 21 Tyson? Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you got to get the gas out. Just save the women. Get we've done the drill. It's like King Kong. Get the big stage and the shackles.
Yeah, I just don't think it's the most brilliant idea. UFC, I'm totally in. I think it's. I think if anything, it's a little bit of repairing in this country. Gives people something to look forward to. NASCAR, whatever it is. I think golf, they should figure it out. You know, golf, you don't need a crowd. I mean,
well, they're working on something right now. That's it's Tiger and Phil versus. I think it's Mickelson and Tom Brady versus Tiger and Peyton Manning. Where like they're going to raise money for the COVID. Yeah, it's like some kind of like $1 million.
No, but thing. I feel like golf is a sport like you don't really need the crowd. In fact, like the crowd doesn't really affect the golf that much because on TV you don't really hardly see the crowd. I feel like what do you got? Two guys usually play together in the pros, I believe. I think you usually pair it up or three. I think it is. Like you can golf is like the ultimate sport where people can keep distance. That's why I didn't even understand here in Jersey they closed the golf courses. I'm like, Jesus, it's like one thing people can do. Like I went golfing a couple weeks ago. I don't even golf. I went with a buddy. We didn't come in contact with anyone. It was me and him in a golf cart, you know, and me chasing my ball in the woods. They, you know, essentially, it's just like you got to give people a little bit, man, and put a little bit of responsibility on the people. You cannot just go into full lockdown and expect everyone to just, you know, step in line and be okay with it.
I guess it's a 50-50 understanding, Drewzy. I mean, it's hard to say. As much as we say you got to give some people some credit, you saw what happened when the Blues Angels came out and every mofo was shoulder to shoulder out there watching it.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, the damn boat came in, the Comfort up the up the Hudson, and people were all over each other. And I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's a I don't have the answers. This is where you like turn to people for the answers, and I don't feel like we're ever gonna really get any straight answers because there's too many people with their hands in pockets and their own needs and whatnot, and it's just. It's tough. But I wanted to ask you: Do you ever not buy yourself something nice because you're afraid to break it?
I'm not a huge buy stuff for me person anyway. I mean, if I feel like getting something for me, I will get it. Nothing like that will affect me from getting it. But I guess maybe the only things I would say I'm a little reluctant on is like good power tools or stuff like that, since I'm not the handiest guy. On like one hand, it'd be like, that'd be great to have, but at the same time, I'd be like, I'm probably going to screw it up somehow. I'm going to run this weed whacker in the house for some reason and mess it up or something stupid like that.
Today on Weed Whack or whatever, we try to
come here, Callie.
We try to slice different vegetables with my weed whacker. But no, I don't know. I'm the kind of the same way. I don't buy myself really too much fancy anything. And every time I feel like I get something nice, like which is generally a gift, I'm like nervous to have it, and like I don't want to break it and things like that. Like I remember the one time I had Oakleys, like real Oakleys. I was giving them as a gift, and of course I was like, and they were, that's when like they were like cool, you know, like Oakleys were like, you know, they're probably still expensive, but I had them on the top of my head, and I was coaching soccer, and this little kid, we were kicking the ball back and forth, and he kicks it, and I like go to head it back to him, and the ball hits like right in the center of the glasses and just explodes my glasses. I'm like, oh man. Just like
then a, you cut the player afterwards.
Yeah, right. And then like today, okay. So Alex had got me, my wife had got me the AirPods, the you know, the Apple headphones, and they're really cool. Mm-hmm. Like, I actually really like them. I use them all the time while I'm doing yard work or exercising or whatever it is. And I went for a bike ride. I went for like a 15-mile bike ride, and I'm on like mile 14, and I'm going down a hill. And I, the whole time I'm conscious of like keeping them in, pushing them in. I'm like, nah, maybe I should have wore the wired ones or whatever on the bike ride. And I'm probably on the last mile, and as I'm coming to a hill, the wind blows my headphone out, and I'm like, oh no, no, no! And then I knew it. Like I just hear a car go. And just run over, and I go to pick it up, and it's just crushed. It's like, God damn it. You know, like, I'm like bummed because like, I don't know what they are. They're like, I think they're like close to like $200 or like $180 or something like that. And it's just like, ugh. Exactly. And now I got to order one. Like, I got to order a left ear of a headphone. And I don't know. It's just like, I find myself always in these situations where I'm like, I break, like, sunglasses. Anytime I have sunglasses, they always seem to break. I don't know, man. I just, it's very, very depressing.
Yeah, I mean, I never really buy expensive stuff for me. I mean, just going over here is like, I don't think I could get the ear pods because I don't want to say I'm sensitive inside my ear, but it's the few times I've used ear pods, I'm like, this never feels right. So I'm always prefer the outside ear stuff. Sunglasses, I always just get like a $10-15 pair because I end up losing them anyway. Anytime I'm like, yeah, I'll bring on vacation, then no matter how anal I am with like making sure everything's there, I'll come home like, son of a,
oh, I know. I'm the same way with like clothes. I don't buy anything expensive. I don't, because I prefer like, mm-hmm. I'm gonna, shoes, sneakers, I'm always like, I don't want to get expensive sneakers because I'm just gonna ruin them. Like, it's a depressing feeling because I see these people with nice stuff and they're able to keep their stuff nice, and I feel like I'm left out.
Yeah, I usually buy like the Walmart $15 pair of sneakers because I really don't care. Like the wife gets me like regular running for like the actual running stuff. One of my happiest Christmas gifts was sweatpants, since I won't go out and buy myself sweatpants. I've lost my one pair, and the wife was like, I brought it up like, I'm cold, I wish I had some sweatpants. And then like 2 weeks later, it's like, oh, what could this be?
Wow. Wow. Really splurging there, Mike, on sweatpants.
I'm more pay for like going to do items and stuff like that versus physical materials and kind of thing. So
go to do items, what does that mean?
Well, like anything, like when we go on vacation.
You mean like events?
Yeah, going to sporting events, right. Going to interesting things, going to theme parks. That's my kind of stuff. Like, I mean, I could do it both ways. I can go to like a national park and just spend a day there and not blink an eye, but like that's where I will fork out the money. Or
that should be your new,
or basically on my wife, and I don't.
That should be your new web series. Mike goes to do items. Today's item:
weed whacking eggplants. What? We did that last month.
Did you see that? Wow. That guy that got caught? He was hiding
he was
in that
on the Disney Island.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I heard.
I thought that was you.
No. That's apparently they had like an island that they haven't used in about 21 years.
Right.
It still has stuff on there, but they don't do anything with it, and like that's. Like one of those things you'll see, like those hardcore Disney people. Some people will try to
sneak
on there just to check things out. But that guy was actually camping there, so.
I feel like that's got to be kind of like weird, especially in like Florida. Everything's overgrown there. You know, like you got probably got like gators in there and stuff like that. It's probably a little interesting. I like YouTubed the name of that place. I forget if it was Fantasy Island or something
Fantasy
like that.
Fantasy Island, yeah. Yep.
And, like, people try to sneak in there all the time, like, try to do videos of it. Probably pretty interesting. But I guess that's how he escaped COVID.
I'm going to hunker down. You can't catch me.
I'm going to hunker down in this here Disney park.
You imagine the security guards, like, rolling out there, and he's, like, coughing. He's like, son of a... Ah!
It's
no!
Like, what's that one in New Jersey? The... It's up by like Stanhope over there, the abandoned, like, I forget what it's called, but it's like an old kind of theme park, and it has all these like old figures.
Action Park?
No. There's like I remember when we did the Ghost Cast, they were talking about trying to go into there. I forget the name of it. I actually passed it not too long ago either, but on that note, Berlu, I guess since we're talking about scary, spooky things, I think it's guest time. We got a pretty cool guest coming up. What we got?
Scott, tonight we're going to be talking with actor David Howard Thornton. Now, what you people probably know him as...
What do you mean, you people?
You know, anybody in particular of none... particular ethnicity or religion or anything of that sort. You people, everyone out there.
Gotcha.
That's what we call Verbal Shenanigans listeners. You people.
Okay.
But we're going to be talking with David Howard Thornton, who is better known clown from the Terrifier movie series. And we're going to be chatting with him on one of the most gory movies out there and what's it like playing a murderous clown and the upcoming sequel.
Art the Clown, right?
Art the Clown.
Art the Clown. All right, let's get David on the line right now.
Hello?
Hey, David, it's Scott from Verbal Shenanigans. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing, Scott?
Good, man. Sorry, we had a guest before this that amazingly interesting, but he was like one of those guys who could, you know, there's no break in the conversation.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So, like, it was... Yeah, you know, he was like a puppeteer from Star Wars, so it was pretty interesting. So,
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Who did he puppeteer?
Jabba the Hutt. So it was pretty.
Oh wow, cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. But he also did like the Muppets and all this other. So, but he was not short of words. I will tell you that. But let me let me merge Mike in here. Yeah, Mike, David, Mike. I was just explaining to David that we. We had a very fascinating guest, but one that was not short of words, I told him before this.
Bless you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we might get the best excuse of all time by saying we were talking to Jabba the Hutt's left hand.
And we all know where that hand's been.
David, do you see what you have to follow? You have to follow Jabba the Hutt's left hand.
Oh, the pressure is on. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You thought being in a horror movie was a lot of pressure. Now,
that's the slave chain holding hand.
That it was.
That's correct.
So, David, where are we calling you from tonight?
I'm here in New York City.
Oh,
oh wow.
All right.
Epicenter of hell right now.
I was about to say, Lord, how are you guys getting through in there?
Yeah, I just don't go anywhere. I stay inside unless I have to go grocery shopping.
Yeah, I'm in Jersey, so it's pretty similar, man.
Understand.
Pretty similar.
Yeah. Yeah, it's insane. It's so weird because it's so quiet out there.
I know. I see. It's like drone. Someone was flying a drone around New York. It was just weird, man. It's like the setting of a movie. Like it just.
Oh yeah.
It's amazing, and in some ways, it's amazing that people, that many people, are listening and doing what we all believe is, you know, the best thing for society and whatnot. But it is truly amazing that to take whatever it is, 20 million people or more, if you know, and. The fear is—it's
insane.
It's crazy.
It's insane. It's like if the rest of these people would just stay inside, we could get over it faster too. That's what's really driving me crazy. It's like, my God, just stay inside.
Yep.
If you want to go
about going in, have you thought about going in full costume outside to ensure the distance?
I have been very seriously contemplating that. I have, especially after I saw what happened in Michigan yesterday. It's like, they needed art there yesterday. I would have just been over there just cracking heads in, like, get the inside right now. Go home. Put down your little penis compensation thing and go home.
You don't even need a script for the next Terrifier. You just do that and have people film it. You think you're good.
Oh my God, it's just like it's insane. It's like it's like this is for your own good, people. Do you want to die
or kill your grandmother? It's
yeah, pretty, exactly. They're selfish. It's just selfishness. That's what drives me crazy about it all. But I digress.
So, David, give us a little background of, like, your acting when you were growing up. Were you, like, the kid who's, like, into all the plays, get attention to me, or did you kind of grow into that when you got older in age?
A little bit of both. I mean, I did, like, church theater starting out. Oddly enough, considering what I do now. It's just like, I used to do plays about Jesus. Now I'm just cutting people apart.
Let me tell you something, David. The plays about Jesus, way scarier than Terrifier.
Both ways, I'm baptized in blood, so there you go.
I remember I was I was a shepherd in one of those plays. See? You know? We found our flock, buddy. We found our flock.
I remember I almost passed out on stage because it was like one of those nativity things where I had to stand perfectly still.
Me too.
And I'm wearing all this wool under all these hot lights at our church. And I'm just like, ooh.
I feel like you're telling my story because I remember I had the big cane with like the hook. Mm-hmm. And like it was really just like a broomstick, but they made the rest of the hook part with like duct tape. And then I had this very like, I don't know, it was like a headpiece kind of, like a sheet and like a crown. And I had a fake lamb next to me. And I remember being like nervous and I had no lines. All we did was like walk towards the manger.
Yep, that's all I had to do too.
I must have been a horrible actor because all my church did was tell me to go collect the money in the pew. They didn't put me up in the acting stage.
Well, Mike, you're talking to the big dogs now. You're talking to the big dogs. Right? Just know your role. Yeah. Know your role.
They even upgraded me to being outside of the church one time as the shepherd, and I got to stand out there with a llama. A real llama. They had a real llama. That thing was spitting everywhere. That thing was just drooling. It's snotting. It's just like, this is gross. This is not the Emperor's New Groove.
So yeah, go back to I guess like your. You know, the shepherd days were great.
I did that.
But you moved on. Then, you did move on eventually.
Because I was like, when I got to middle school, I went to a new school, new part of town, so no one knew me. So, and I was a little skinny little nerd with glasses and braces, high-pitched voice, because I was a boy soprano until I was 10th grade because I was a late bloomer.
Wow.
You know, shorter than everybody else, too. And so easy target, especially in Alabama where I grew up, is just like, oh yeah. And so I got bullied relentlessly in middle school. And, you know, my mom was like, because at home I was totally different. I would just be crazy and funny and stuff like that. And my mom's like, right. well, have anybody ever seen this side of you at school? And yeah. I'm like, no, they won't allow me. They won't let me talk or anything like that. They just make fun of me. And she's like, well, you should get involved with, like, I know your choral program this year is doing Mickey's Christmas Carol. You should audition for it. You should go in for it. You do really good Mickey Mouse impersonation, so why don't you go in for Mickey Mouse? And I'm like, oh, okay. And I did, and I got it. And we're doing the show, and, like, everything's going wrong in the show. Like, the set fell down on Scrooge and I at one point. And I just started improvising right there on the spot and making jokes up and in character. And I had everybody just dying laughing out in the audience. And I was like, oh, I like this feeling. I like, for once, they're laughing with me instead of at me. I have the power right now. I like this. I like this a lot. And it felt good. And after that, I was like, I think I want to do this more. And so my mom got me into auditioning for, like, community theater, and I started doing that, and just kind of snowballed from there. But when I went to college, I was trying to be very, like, practical and pragmatic, and I was like, well, I don't know if I will be able to, you know, make a living doing acting, so I'll become a teacher. So I decided to pursue a career in elementary education, and then my mom passed away while I was in college from cancer, and that kind of changed my whole, like, perspective on life.
Right.
And I was like, you know, I get more fulfillment out of entertaining people than teaching people. Well, I think I want to do this instead. So I moved up to New York City after I got out of college and went into acting.
For what I see, you originally were a kind of voice actor for a while. Is that something you just kind of pursued, or was that just what came up at the time?
Yeah, that's something I pursued when I got here, because I was like, my unique skill has always been to do voices. I do, like, well over 200 voices. I lost count years ago. I pick up on voices, and I pick up on dialects really easily. And I was like, well, I love cartoons. I was obsessed with cartoons growing up. And I was like, I would love to do cartoons for a living, or, you know, video games or something like that.
Right.
And so, like, when I moved here, I pursued that. I was like, oh, how can I get involved? So I found a voiceover teacher, and then I cut a demo and all that kind of stuff. And it kind of snowballed from there.
Now, as you're going from, you know, voice work to acting and to, you know, doing the, I guess, proverbial starving artist, trying to find your way, getting gig after gig. What was the first, like, gig, like, you know, or thing of significance that you felt like, okay, all right, I'm on the right path here?
I would say it was this off Broadway rock opera that I did when I first moved here. I got into it about a few months after first moving here to New York. So this had to have been, like, early 2007. Mm-hmm. And it just felt like that started setting all the wheels in motion for me. It opened a lot of doors for me, and, you know, it got me set up with my first manager and agent and stuff like that.
Right.
It just one thing leads to another, to another, to another, to another. And so I think that's when it really started up. And there's actually a funny story behind that thing too, with that show is, we would perform at bars all over the city. And this is, like, early 2000 going into early 2008. And we would have sometimes an opening act for us just to open, you know, warm up the audience and stuff like that. So there would be different musicians playing. And there was this one bar we were playing at in, like, lower Manhattan one night. And there was this blonde girl named Stephanie.
No.
That was playing, and she was the piano, and she was fantastic, absolutely fantastic. And we ended up, like, hanging out with her afterwards and chilling out and getting drinks, stuff like that. And she was just awesome, and never heard, you know, spoke to her after that, but it was a cool night and everything like that. And it didn't dawn on me until a few years later, like a few years ago. And I'm sitting there, and I remember that night, and I'm like, wait a minute. That was Lady Gaga. Holy shit, because this was back when she was going all over the city too, before she was Lady Gaga.
Wow.
And performing in bars. Wow. And stuff like that. So she was, like, our opening act.
Holy crap. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I was like, holy shit. I contacted my old castmates. I was like, guys, remember that girl Stephanie?
That's
She's like,
hysterical. Yeah. I'm like, wow.
That was Lady Gaga. They're like, oh my God, you are right.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. That's like, so like at one time back in 2007, Lady Gaga was the opening act for Art the Clown in a bar in Lower Manhattan.
I mean, Art the Clown is pretty awesome, but that's like the ultimate, like, wow, the opener has surely surpassed the headliner, if you will. Wow.
It's like, holy shit, yeah.
That's crazy.
That's when you start going through your wallet to see if she gave you a card when she wasn't
yet. God, I wish. Because I was just like, okay, nice meeting you. You have a good night.
Before
I was on Facebook or anything, so I couldn't add her on Facebook or anything like that back then. So I was just like,
yeah, you should try now. See if she responds.
Oh, God, yeah. She wouldn't remember me at all. She would not. That wonderful, talented woman has met so many people since then.
That's almost been one of my fears. Not my fears. Like if you ever get to so famous where you stop remembering all the people on, like where you've just your hard drive's full of the amount of people you've talked to and recognize that's almost like a loneliness in a way. And you're the most.
I already have that problem. That's the problem with me. I suck with remembering people's names.
I'm the worst.
Oh, I remember faces, but I'm like names. I'm like,
I'm the worst, Donald. I'm the worst, man. I really am the worst, Don.
No. The hand of God. When I went to my 10-year high school reunion, I had best friends. I didn't know their name until I saw their name tag. And I'm talking about my years in high school not knowing their name. I was just, it's like I know him for too long. It's like, hey, you.
Yeah, you, the face. That guy. Buddy.
Look at this guy.
My man.
Yes. Dude.
So, I mean, as I'm reading up and diving into this, when you audition for this role, it's literally just an online ad that says, they're looking for like a tall, skinny clown.
Yeah,
is that as simple as that?
It was as simple as that. You just never know. Sometimes it was just one of those like serendipitous things too, because I usually didn't even check that website. That I was just hard up for a job at that time because I had been auditioning. I took like a 4-month hiatus off of waiting tables just to focus on just auditioning for musical theater, and all these I was up for like 3 or 4 different Broadway tours at the time. They all fell through at the last second for one reason or another. It was like, and I was like, God, I don't want to go back into waiting tables. And now,
did they specify this is like a murderous clown, or is it just hey, we're looking for a tall, skinny guy.
Kids' birthday parties, movies.
They said he was Art the Clown, so they said it right there. Oh, okay. They said this is a previous movie called All Hallows Eve, and I had seen All Hallows Eve, so I was like, oh, I know this character. Oh, my God, yes.
Now so
when
you have – go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say, when – since you
new Let me call you 2 seconds, David.
Hello.
Let me merge in Mike. He's done with his remix.
What's that?
I said Mike's done with his remix and he's back.
Oh, okay, good. That's good.
I was auditioning for a DJ job.
I've never heard that happen before. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, I'm down south and I'm in Georgia now, so internet's kind of optional. So.
Oh, yeah.
Internet, teeth, whatever, anything.
Yeah, you know.
So when you got that job as the clown – And you know you're going from, you know, you're doing a lot of stuff off Broadway or, you know, different plays more. Like, what is the shift like for an actor to kind of go into that darker play? Like, you know, you're going to really go from, you know, people kind of loving you to, like, you got to be dark and really shift the mindset. How do you prepare for that?
Yeah, that definitely was a shift for me because I right before that I had been touring with How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the musical.
Right, right.
So that's going from like children's musical comedy to you just, this is crazy. So I had to do a lot of learning right there on the spot because this is also my first real film role. I had done like extra work, but I had never done like a major role in a film. So I had to learn all these, you know, all these new terminology, different, you know, about, you know, all about my where, like the, where I am on screen and like knowing what my frame was. So I'm not going out of frame with my movements. And so I had to do a lot of learning really quickly on my first night on set. So that, it was definitely a change.
So you're learning on the job at that point, basically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So out of curiosity, just talking to you, we're having a good time chuckling along. Now, are you one of them actors that when you're in the makeup, do you like going up and just BSing with the other characters and have a good time? Or is it one of those, no, I kind of want to build this and I don't want to think of me like this?
Oh, no, no. They can never get me to shut up on set. It's because I'm one of those actors, like, as soon as I understand the character in my head, I can turn it on and off. And so I might maybe need like a few seconds just to like get into it, but I don't have to stay in character the whole entire time on set. Now, if someone needs that from me to like just distance myself from them, then I'll give them that.
Right.
That's no problem. But yeah, I'll do whatever someone needs for them, but like, I don't need it. It's like I will literally go from like, you know, choke, stab, cut. Are you okay?
Now working on such a, you know, I guess dark film and you know, totally different genre, are you enjoying that the whole way? To me, it's got to be really fun to go that dark.
Oh yeah, it's a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun, but at times it sucks too. Because a lot of people see all that blood, like, oh, that's gonna be so much fun. It's like, oh no, no, no. When you're filming in winter and you don't have heat in the building, being covered in blood and having it all spraying on you and stuff like that, it's not a lot of fun.
Gotcha.
Not a lot of fun. That's very miserable. It's very cold and very sticky. It's just, and then some of the things I've had to put my hands in. I'm probably inoculated to coronavirus because of the things I've had to, like the locations we've shot in and the things I've had to put my hands on. I've probably inoculated myself already. It's just like, oof, there's this one night, I can't tell you what it is yet, but it's like this one kill scene I did, and I'm the things I have my hands in, and it's just like it was a variety of textures and just it's a good thing they didn't have sound recording while we were filming this, because how's this over there going, they're only showing my hands too, so I could just go with my face.
It really loses the appeal when the clown's like, ew.
This is gross. Oh my gosh. Oh,
are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And that's kind of interesting because a week ago we got to speak with Howard Berger, who's done all the makeup work from Walking Dead and most of the great horror movies in the 90s and all that. It's got to be something when you go on set and all, when the practical effects that they put out there and all, where it's like so realistic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's funny how I've gotten so desensitized towards a lot of that stuff now, because, you know, I was wondering how it was going to be before I started filming the first film, like in regards to seeing all that gross stuff everywhere, especially all the prosthetics and, you know, limbs falling off and stuff like that. And I was like, God, how am I going to be able to eat on set? I'm probably going to be so disgusted. And now I'm just like, eh, it's no big deal.
Yeah. Walking around with a turkey leg day three, you know?
Oh, yeah. Sitting there with a rare steak. And just like, yep, yeah, I'm totally used to this.
So what are you working on now? Well, not now, per se, because everything's kind of shut down. What are you working on now?
Well, we were filming part two. We were almost done filming. I think maybe I had 4 or 5 more days left on set for myself by the time we had to go into lockdown. We had just finished filming probably our biggest set piece in the whole entire film. So it's good that we have that done, because it's a crazy scene. It took us a week to film this one scene because there's so much that goes on, and it's a long scene, and it's a lot of crazy stunts and stuff like that happening. So it's batshit crazy. It's the one scene we were all dreading and filming because we knew it was going to be so hard and complicated, but it ran so smoothly. Like, man, we were so worried about this scene. We've done much easier stuff that it actually proved to be much more difficult to film. So it's funny how that is. But so yeah, we're almost done filming. Damien right now, instead of just poo-pooing around, he's actually being proactive in editing the majority of the film that we've already filmed right now. So once we can get out of this quarantine, we can go back and finish filming everything, and he can just plug all that in and boom. So hopefully we're still on track.
Where are you guys filming it?
Well, we've been filming in parts of Philly, parts of New Jersey, parts of Staten Island, parts of New York City, and parts of upstate New York, where we built a little studio.
Gotcha.
It's out in the middle of nowhere, like Amish country. It's just like, it's like when the quarantine happened, it's like, we should just stay here. We're totally away from there. But we had nothing up there. It's like, I was lucky to get like one bar on my phone. I was like, this is not civilization.
Now, out of curiosity, when did you start getting like the vibes of the original movie, like getting some ground and getting the cult following that had? Because for what I see, they made it in 2016, but it wasn't wide release till 2018.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, I started seeing a little bit of it before Netflix. It's like more amongst like the horror fan bases and stuff like that. It was building up a lot of steam, but it's like once it got on Netflix, that's when it really exploded. And I noticed a difference between conventions before and after Netflix with the response, because like before that, I would get a lot of people just walk by the table and like, what's this movie about? I've never seen this. And then after the convention, like, oh my god, you.
Yeah.
So yeah, but well, like when it kind of dawned on me really was I was it was a few days after we released on Netflix, and I was going down to GameStop to pick up my copy of Spider-Man for the PlayStation, and I had my Terrifier shirt on, but I had my jacket zipped up at the time, and I walk in, and they're like one of the guys behind the desk is talking to, I guess, some friends or something like that, just, you know, because it wasn't very busy in there, and they're, you know, shooting the shit. I'm standing in line, and I hear them, overhear them, and they're like, this one guy's like, yeah, have you guys watched this movie Terrifier yet on Netflix? They're like, oh, yeah, I watched it the other night. Oh, my God, it's crazy, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm like, oh, this is cool. So I, like, you know, casually unzip my shirt. So I'm just like, maybe they'll notice. I don't know if they'll notice. But I get up to the register, and, like, the other cashier who's taking care of me, he's like, I freaking love that movie. I'm like, oh, yeah. It's like, yeah. That's an unbelievable movie. It's like, well, would you ever want to meet the guy that plays Art the Clown? He's like, yeah, that would be awesome. Because I'm like, well, I hear he lives here in New York City. He's like, yeah, how do you know that? Because I'm him. He's like, no. I was like, look, dude, here's my driver's license. Look it up on IMDb.
You have to prove it.
I had to prove it to him. And I did this like the wood, because no one knew what I looked like. So like, it's me. He's like, holy shit. And I had been going to this GameStop for about 5 years. So I had talked to this guy several times. He's like, oh my god. And he's like, guys, this is the guy. This is actually the guy.
That's funny.
I'm like, yeah, I live up the street. I'm like, thank you though. Thank you for, you know, tell your friends about the movie. Keep telling them, please, please, please.
That's great.
That was a really cool moment. So I was like, yay, all right, sweet. And it just started snowballing. That's when, like, you know, other celebrities started mentioning us on, like, you know, their own accounts. Like, you know, Chris Jericho was talking about us in his podcast. Like, Lily Reinhart from Riverdale, was like, she posted that her and the girl that played Barb from Stranger Things, they watched it together, and she like posted about that up on Instagram, and I was like, oh wow, this is catching on. Holy shit.
That's awesome. Anyway, we could probably talk to you for another half an hour or so, and maybe when the sequel comes out, we can get you back on the show and chit chat about it. But if people want to get a hold of you and tell you how much they love the movie, where they can go?
Well, you can easily reach me on like Facebook. I try to respond as much to messages on there. I've kind of stopped friending a lot of people because I'm almost at my friend limit. So I'm like,
stop bragging, David.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I hate that they had those stupid limits on there, though. Like, because I didn't realize it for a long time. So I was just friending every single person that sent a friend request.
Yeah.
Yep, that's how I got them, Scott.
Oh, gotcha.
But also, you can follow me on Instagram as well under David Howard Thornton. I'm on there a lot too. I probably should post more on there than I do, but I've got a few things I've done recently, being a little silly and stuff like that. And also, since you know everything's locked down and I'm not able to do conventions right now, I've started doing Cameo, where I, you know, it's like one of those sites where you record little videos and stuff like that. And I've done a lot of birthday things and stuff like that for people, so it's kind of fun.
Now, do you have, cool, like, way, the Art the Clown, like, get up ready to go at all times? Like, you were able to just pop into that?
Well, I don't have the actual costume, I have my trick-or-treat studio mask over here I put on. I have the Immortal mask as well, the one that's, like, the $600 mask.
Right.
But I have that thing boxed up and safe because I don't want anything bad to happen to that thing because that thing's expensive.
Yeah.
It's like the trick-or-treat studio ones, it's a nice, you know, budget mask for everybody. So I'm like, yeah, I'll do this. It works.
I love it.
One final question before you go. Since you grew up doing a lot of voices, and I know Art has yet to speak, if they said we want Art to have a voice, what do you think you would do?
Oh, no, he would never speak. It's just like, that's the thing. It's like, and that's the thing. It's like, even if he did speak, I mean, I do sometimes speak with the Art mask on, but I'm just being silly. I'm like, that's not actually how Art sounds. I don't think, even if I did speak as Art, people would be pissed.
Yeah.
Because his voice would not be what anybody wants it to be.
Yeah, it's like when Kiss took the makeup off. You know, they put it right back on, like, a year later.
No. It's like, you don't want to hear Mike Myers or Jason Voorhees speak either. It's just kind of like, no, please don't. It's just like, no. It would be funny if, like, some fancy British accent comes out of him or something like that, though. Yeah, there, yes. I'm going to stab you now. You are going to die.
You, sir, will be dead.
Carry on.
It's just
so you're going to be carry on.
David, thank you so much for coming on, man, and stay safe during this, and hopefully you'll be able to finish up that movie in the next, God, hopefully a month or so. You'll be back out there, and
I hope so. I hope I don't have to film while it's like 100 degrees outside. That would suck.
Hopefully you don't have to like film it yourself where they're like, hey, we're gonna just do cut scenes, so just send us iPhone shots that you've done on your own.
Art on Zoom.
Just gonna have my little some of the like little action figures like fans have made me at conventions and just use those to act it out. Like,
you're gonna be running in the woods, and the next shot is like you in your apartment in the.
It's kind of like what they did in SNL last week.
Yeah, God. Yeah. David, thanks so much, man, and take care. Stay safe.
You're welcome. Y'all take care as well.
All right, Berlo. Art the Clown. He's so nice.
Yep. Nice man. Lovely British accent. I don't know what caused him to do the stuff he does, but, you know, I mean, We all have our hobbies, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like you probably identify with Art the Clown a lot. You relate to him.
No, you know me. I'd be making sounds the entire time. I'd look in the mirror and say, don't mess with me, or I'd make a random animal sound. And he would just be staring at me like, I can't work with you. And he would have to mime it since he doesn't talk.
Oh, that's right. I'm your cat daddy now. That's what I was supposed to call you. You had a picture with your cat, and you hashtag cat daddy. So I think that's what the audience needs to call you from now on.
Yeah. Speaking of cats, just out of curiosity, a lot of people have been complaining about very like lucid or weird dreams since happened. Yeah. Have you gone through any of that stuff?
Funny you say that. It was kind of on my list here. Last night I had, and I wish I could remember it a little bit better, and this has happened like 3 or 4 times probably since I've been with my wife, but I had a dream, like a scary dream. Maybe it was Art the Clown or something, but I had some kind of scary dream where I was like screaming in my sleep, like, and she had to like wake me up, like, babe, and it's like that like pure panic. I'm like, like where it takes like 2 minutes to like calm down. And the only thing I remember, there was like this box, like that we had found, like a trunk kind of, and there was like a doll or a body kind of thing in it. And everyone's around like saying something like, oh, it's not real, or like it's an artifact. And then like I just remember the thing waking up and going, it's like I am real or something like that. And like some lady next to it like turning into some thing and chasing me. I don't remember much of the setup, but I do remember like I feel like any time that I've had these kind of dreams is like it's always me being chased of some sort. Like, and I think that's what the panic is.
That's intriguing. Yeah, because I kind of had two. Now, I don't remember the first one. I'm kind of in the same boat. I think it's something ended with, like, somebody was in the room with us and, like, just dove on top of me or something like that. But the second one, I remember one specific thing, and it's still in my brain, and it's freaking me out. And I don't know what turned to it, but basically, I was looking around the room, and I turned my head, and there's this cat in front of me, and it looks like the right hand side where its eye might be is just a hole, but then I realize it's a second mouth with like yellow pus coming out of it, and it was like the freakiest freaking image I've ever seen. Like, I literally woke up and like Izzy was petrified because she was sleeping, her head was on my chest as I woke up screaming. Wow. And it was just like the most crazy nightmarish thing I've ever saw in my life.
Well, let's break this down a second. So did the eyeball have like teeth, kind of like a mouth?
All right, so it was an orange tabby. I do remember that.
And that wasn't the scary part.
No. So imagine you got an orange tabby in your head. Now take the right hand side and just down to the nose and off to the side, black. As in nothing's there. And then as you stare at it more, teeth grow out of the hole like it's a second mouth. And then yellow pus starts coming out of it. And I do think it screamed from both mouths at me.
Wow. That's pretty dark, man. You also like woke up screaming. Like, did you wake up like sweating in a panic? Did you know, like you said, that image is, I guess you're describing it pretty well. So you must've been thinking about it since then.
Oh, that image is concrete. It's stuck in there. I'm going to be telling kids when I'm 95 years old, this ghost story kind of deal.
What do you think that is?
I have no idea. No. Like, there is nothing natural or close to what I was watching on TV or anything of that sort I could think of where I can say, okay, that was in my mind and then my brain twisted a little bit and that's what came up in front of me.
It's funny because I think I told this on this cast, but like a couple, probably like maybe 6 months ago, I had a dream. And all I really remember now, I still remember the face though of the woman. It was like this pale, crazy woman that was trying to old woman that was trying to stay on me with like really big red hair. And I could picture that face right now. Like I could draw it if I had to. But I wouldn't say I'm like the most like lucid dreamer, or visual dreamer, but I do remember certain things. I do remember the best dream I ever had. And I know we're getting on dreams, and that could be a little bit boring. But I do remember the best dream I ever had was that I think I told this on the cast too, but it was right around when like we were going to war with Iraq and stuff like that, like in 2001, 2002. Mm-hmm. And I had this dream that I was with like a like Navy SEAL team, and we were trying to hunt Saddam Hussein, and I was like the sixth guy in the squadron, kind of, and like we were going through this old mansion, and the fireplace turned around, and we were finding all these secret passageways, and we killed Saddam Hussein, and I was like, this is the greatest thing ever. We had all the equipment and like the night vision goggles. It's like one of those dreams you woke up and you're like, man, I wish that was real, because life is way nowhere near as cool as what that was.
Yeah, I don't know. If life can only be that way, yeah. I mean, and you'll never live that dream again. Like, have you ever tried? Like, you ever, like, all right, just, like, keep on envisioning in your head. It's like, all right, I'm almost just like, all right, I'm going to have a machine gun. I'm three doors. So
well, actually,
I'm going to go in this dream. Like, guys, I'm going into the bedroom.
Well, I didn't tell you, bro. Every night I go to bed in a Navy SEAL costume with a gun. So I try to, like, you know, be ready to get recruited in the middle of the night.
Which is awkward when you had that nightmare. The gun just goes off and you're just shooting up the entire bedroom.
Right. It's happened a few times. We put blanks in the gun now just to be safe. So
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That feeling of fear is very memorable. Like you could remember a couple times in your life when you're afraid like that. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's nothing more terrifying in your own mind working at its will, if you will.
I was actually just thinking about I don't know, one of those weird haunted houses, like those videos came up that we had talked about this before too, but like those super extreme haunted houses, like the ones that are just like they do whatever, they cut you and put bugs on you and whatever. And I was thinking about the haunted house we went to. That one, Bane and Randolph, that was pretty scary, man. When the point where we got separated and we got put into the coffins, that was a little weird.
That was, they did pretty well. They made sure nobody was relying on their friends to get through. I remember my wife kept on laughing, so the guy refused to let her go for the first 35 minutes. Yeah. So that's why we had to wait for her.
My wife quit because they said they were going to put bugs on her.
They were going to put bugs on her, and I remember the conversation with her. I'm like, well, they rent this place. You think the guy who rents it is going to allow them to use live cockroaches? Yeah. And there was a pause, and they're like, no, they were real.
She was real. She had one decision. Nope, not doing that. She was out. But I didn't really like the isolation part of it, because I think, you know, when you're going to do those things on like Halloween or whatever, the fun of it is kind of like doing it together, you know, like kind of going through it together. Like the one in Sleepy Hollow was really cool. I mean, it wasn't that scary, but it was like more fun. It's fun like laughing together, you know what I mean? Like the isolation ones, I feel like you should be told beforehand, like you will be separated.
Yeah, I guess 90% of fun is one, waiting to see how long it takes for yourself to get scared, and two, just looking forward to your other friend going,
100%. It's always fun, like, making fun of the person who gets scared the most, or, like, kind of messing with the person who gets scared the most. Still, the best haunted house experience I ever had was watching fellow comic Joe Fernandez go through a haunted house, because it was straight up like watching Scooby-Doo in real life, like that super jump and the, like, oh, like he was just so scared of everything. It was freaking brilliant. So but yeah, I don't know.
Keep the head on the swivel. That's what I tell everybody. Keep on looking to the left and the right, and you'll get through it 98% of the time.
I agree. It's they're fun, though. They're fun.
Oh, yeah.
All right, bro. Yeah. What do you got before we get out of here?
Well, Scott, I feel, as you told us a couple of weeks ago about the big event coming up in your life, I got to start getting
I'm going to order that new ready. Ear pod today. Big event.
Yeah. Yep, that's the new addition. I saw you guys are having an oil painting done with you, Alex, and the ear pods.
Hang it right over the couch, you know.
You're both hearing, she's holding the right, you're holding the left.
Right.
It's so adorable. Obi's there in front of a fireplace.
Thank you. Thank you. Adorable. It really is adorable.
But I figure with you becoming a father, we got to get you acclimated to all the different pieces of the new fatherly life. So tonight I'm going to quiz you about something that's going to be very important in your life, diapers.
Oh boy. You know, I've actually had a little anxiety about this. Like,
really? Have you ever had to change your nieces or anything like that?
No. And sadly, Doug Max is not happy about that. But no, I never really... that's a really inside joke. But I've never really had to change a diaper per se. I've thrown out diapers, like when people have changed them and handed them to me and throw them out. But I never really... I don't mind. And it's not the poop part. It's like I want to make sure I'm cleaning up enough and doing the right thing and, you know, putting the diaper on correctly. That's where I get a little nervous about. I don't care about the cleaning up after the kid.
You feel your kid's going to have a diaper on the face at some point thanks to you?
Or like I put it on backwards or sideways and it goes to pee and there's just pee shooting everywhere in public. Like, I just want to, you know, I have a hard enough time getting myself dressed and organized.
It sounds like a fun event and all, just like how will Scott screw this up, and it sounds like a kid's board game where it's like, all right, I'm going to do 1, 2, 3. Uh-oh, I messed up. Being like, on me.
Yeah, like whack-a-mole or something. All right. Diaper so, quiz. Here we go.
Yeah, we got history. We got some fun trivia. We got all of that.
All right.
Scott, the Chukchi people who lived in Eastern Russia use what to diaper and carry their babies? Was it A, leather bags filled with water? Was it B, fur bags filled with moss? Was it C, the stomach of an ox with grass? Or was it D, wool babushka with twine pullings to release fillings, quote unquote?
What I'm kind of happy about is that one of the three of these you had to make up, which makes me really happy that, like, in your head you were like, if like, oh, what kind of babushka could be a good diaper con or whatever it is. So that always makes me even happier than the real answer, because I'm just liking the image of you creating fictitious diapers in your head.
You just see me in the garage with like a bunch of things, just picking something up. Now, can this be a diaper in Russia?
Just like trying it on yourself, like. But I think it was the. I'm gonna go geographically. I think it was the fur with the moss.
Correct, Scott.
Yeah. 1 for 1. Ding 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 ding. All right. See, I was thinking, you know. The other thing I was thinking, like a sheep stomach or whatever it was, that would mean every time you need you gotta change a diaper, you need a sheep stomach. And there's only one per sheep, so that one.
Those poor sheep, they're like, man, why are they doing disposable? Dang it. Watch that thing. All right. Still going with ancient history of diapers. In northern China, babies are placed in bags with what? A, wads of cotton, B, warm, damp leaves, C, sand, or D, water lettuce.
Is this to transfer them or just for them to they're wrapped
what
with?
They use as their diapers.
Oh, boy. Can you repeat the first two?
Wads of cotton, warm, damp leaves.
I'm going to go warm, damp leaves, Bertha. Warm, damp leaves.
Scotty. It's sand.
Oh,
the sand picks up the excess, if you will, and allows them to just dump it out more accordingly and know when it's damp.
All right. Okay. All right. But I feel like sand, you know, you don't want too much sand on a baby.
Yeah. I mean, they've never been to the Jersey Shore, so they just didn't know what the babies went through.
Exactly. All right. 1 for 2.
All right. Scott, disposable diapers need a lot of resources to be created. which is not considered a needed ingredient for 1 year's worth of diapers? Okay. Is it A, 300 pounds of wood? Is it B, 50 pounds of petroleum? Is it C, 20 pounds of chlorine, or D, 100 pounds of adhesive?
I'm going to go with... My first thought is wood. So I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with 50 pounds of wood or whatever it was. A lot of pounds
of wood. It was 300 pounds of wood, yeah. And it's incorrect. It's 100 Jeez. Pounds of adhesive.
See, I thought that would be one that makes sense. It's a lot of sticky stuff on a diaper.
Nope. And nothing from any of the regulated sites that I went to. And I go only to certified diaper sites when gotcha. I do these quizzes.
So I guess the wood is like the papery texture, like the papery. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. All right. Well.
All right.
All right. Got to get back on track here. Got to get to the 500.
All right. You're one out of three.
Yeah.
All right. This one I like. Okay. On average, 1.2 billion chicken wings are sold on Super Bowl Sunday. But that is nothing compared to the amount of disposable diapers in landfills every year. Roughly how many times more diapers are in landfills compared to Super Bowl wings? Is it A, 9 times more, B, 12 times more, C, 15 times more, or D, 20 times more?
All right. I'm going to go with my favorite letter on standardized tests just for no reason, but it's always C.
Correct, Scott.
Yes.
There is 18 to 20 billion diapers that go to landfills every year.
Well, there's going to be a couple more next year because I ain't doing that reusable diaper crap.
Now, this one might cut to your heart, Scotty. The average six-pack of craft beer costs around $9 to $12. Mm-hmm. About how many six-packs will you need to give up per year for diapers?
None.
Is it A, 60? This kid wants college. He ain't touching my beer money. Is it A, 62 to 83? Is it B, 95 to 112? Is it C, 120 to 140? Or is it D, 160 to 180?
Mike, I'm going to go with B. B is the answer.
So, I'm sorry, you're incorrect, but at least the good thing is it's the least amount.
All right.
A, 62 to 83. The average cost of diapers of a year for a child is about $750.
That's it? All right, that doesn't seem too bad.
Not bad.
I was thinking more.
Nope. So, 2 right, 3 wrong. Scott, what world record was set in 2012 that was also known as the Great Cloth Diaper? Was it A, Jake and Karen Luntz changing all their sextuplet children diapers in 1 minute and 39 seconds? Is it B, the world's largest diaper cake was constructed by Huggies weighing in around 2 tons? Is it C, Sarah Coughlin changed 1 diaper in 19 states in a 24-hour period? Or is it D, 8,251 cloth diapers were changed at the same time in over 189 countries?
This is tough because all of them are pretty believable. Because I can see the diaper cake as kind of like a promotional kind of thing. I could see a bunch of lunatics trying to break records to get in the Guinness World Book of Records. And I'm just going to try to do logic because the other ones all could be true. So I'm going to try the most logical, and I'm going to go with the diaper cake. I believe that was B.
D, Scott, 8,251 cloth diapers were changed at the same time in over 189 countries.
What kind of stupid thing is that? Like, oh, we're all gonna change the diaper at the same time. Like, that's so stupid.
It's cloth diaper people trying to promote don't use disposable diapers.
I don't care. Like, they could be in another 500 countries. No one would care. Okay, because no one wants to wash crappy diapers.
Well, look at it this way, Scott. The other three I made up, they're all yours, baby, if you want to try it and beat that. They're all made up, so you can be like, yo, Guinness.
Verbal Shenanigans makes a diaper cake.
No, see, I want you to go state by state changing a diaper. for 24 hours.
Honey, I'll be back in a couple days.
I'm going to have a world record, and I got some experience.
You should have seen the load the baby in Tennessee did.
All right, finally, Scott, disposable diapers are multi-usable. So what kind of animal are also known to use disposable diapers for healthcare reasons? Is it A, seals? Is it B, horses? Is it C, lemurs? Or is it D, ferrets?
I got to go with our primate friends, and I feel like a lemur is very close. I'm going with lemurs.
Scott, I'm sorry. It's horses. Rangers.
Horses?
Rangers use baby diapers as a cheap, breathable bandage on horses that have abscesses or hoof infection. They put the infected hoof inside the diaper.
Can you say hoof?
Contains homemade remedies to relieve the pain and make the abscess heal faster.
Can you just cheer me up and say hoof again instead of hoof?
Hoof. Hoof infection.
Burlew's hoof. Hoof repair.
Hi, this is Burlew from Burlew's Hoof Repair. Has your horses got some infected hooves? Well, I got news for you. I'm the guy for you. That's right. Burlew Hooves available in Paulding, Douglasville, and Cobb counties.
Is your horse's poor little hoof infected? Do you have multiple hoofs infected? Well, Burlew's Hooves. Well, oh, man. Well, I guess it's another thing I know nothing about. I know nothing about the pandemic. I know nothing about our dreams. I know nothing about diapers. Don't know much, Burlew. I don't know. I can't have nice things. But on that note, Burlew.
And Lord knows, don't close your eyes because something creepy is going to show up in your head.
Yeah, right. I guess it's time to go, Burlew. It's been a fun episode. Anything to promote before we run?
Sure. In keeping up with supporting small businesses, I'm going to promote Ground and Pound Elite Fitness. If you're in Georgia and you're less worried about the pandemic going on, they have limited hours right now, and they are open for training, jiu-jitsu, all that stuff. I've been over to their place for 3 months. They give you great instructions, and it's great exercise throughout the day. They're off of Edge Road in Billerica, Georgia. So check them out when you feel like it. It's Ground and Pound Elite Fitness Center.
All right. And I will promote Burlew's Hoof Repair. supporting small business. If your injured horse has a damaged hoof, please go see Burlew. Contact Verbal Shenanigans for a 20% discount on hoof repair right now. One hoof,
we'll
two
throw in three hair replacements as well.
One hoof, two hoof, three hoof, blue hoof, something like that. But no, I will really promote. I'm going to promote the BS Podcast Network. We've been involved with them for a long time. They help us with our social media and whatnot. And they do a lot of, they have a lot of other great podcasts on their network. So go check them out, the BS Podcast Network. If you're a podcast, it might be cool for you to join the network, inquire. Go reach out to them at BS Podcast Network. Guys, that's it. We'll be back again Thursday. We're going to keep these two-a-weekers going for a little bit for the foreseeable future. We have a lot of guests in the bank, if you will, or recorded already as we build our way to our last episode, episode 300. So that's it, guys. After 300, it's over. It's just Burlew's Hoof Podcast where we talk about state of hoofs, hoof repair, what's new in hoof world, and that's it. But, guys, life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back. Meow.
Hoofs.